content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Sharon Benton from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. On this program, I will talk with and read about visually impaired people who have achieved success. My guest today is Mr. Eddie Weaver, who is the former director of the North Carolina Division of Services for the Blind. Good afternoon, Mr. Weaver.
Hi, Sharon.
I hope you're enjoying this wonderful weather today.
Oh, it's terrific. I can't believe it's February.
Well, it's really great to get to know you better, and I hope that our audience will be able to sit back and relax and enjoy our interview today.
Okay.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me where you're from and a little bit about your childhood.
All right. Well, I was born in the western part of the state in a little small town in Catawba County called Maiden. I don't know the population size, but it's very small. Ashley was born in a little town a little further north from there called Newton, but lived in that small town called Maiden and lived there until I was about 9 years old or 8.5 years old, something like that. And that's when we moved to Charlotte. I started having some vision problems when I was between first grade and second grade. And it was a result of detached retinas going on. And so I was we tried to figure out what was happening. And this is way back. I'm a pretty old guy. This is like 1962, 63, something like that. And so we did all kinds of surgeries and procedures to try to reattach the retina. Wasn't successful, so by the time 1965 rolled around, I had lost all my vision. So that's when we moved to Charlotte in 1965, so I could attend the public schools there in Charlotte.
So you attended public school the whole way through, or did you ever attend a school for the blind?
Did not attend the Governor Moorhead School. I attended public schools all the way through in Charlotte.
Okay, and where did you attend college?
I have to give you two answers.
Okay.
One of them is I went to Wingate University. It was called Wingate College then. Things change as we age. They went from a college to the university system. But I went to Wingate College, started there in January of 1978 and graduated in May of 81. And attained my bachelor's administration degree, business administration degree, sorry. And then after I started working for Services for the Blind, I went back to school and got my master's degree in rehabilitation counseling from San Diego State University and did that all online. And so that's my two answers for you.
Wow. Okay. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So when did you actually start your career with the Division of Services for the Blind?
In January of 1984, I started working as a social worker for the blind in Catawba County. I mean, let's try that again, Caldwell County, which is right next door. And also, I had Alexander County was my other county that I covered. And I worked as a social worker for the blind for about 5 years, I guess, something like that, almost 5 years. And then after we left there, we moved back to Charlotte as I took the rehabilitation counselor job in Charlotte and had about five or six counties that I would cover as a rehab counselor. And then in 1995 came along a possibility of moving to Wilmington to be a supervisor. And so I moved to Wilmington. I got the job as a supervisor for the district office in Wilmington in 1995. Did that job for 15 years and loved it in that area. As I tell people, my wife got salt in her veins and she's ready to go back. And then in 2010, the director had retired and for Services for the Blind, and I was hired to be the director. And I kept that job for about 5.5 years until I retired in November of 2015.
Now, was it always your goal to be a rehab counselor or supervisor? Did you have any other goals beforehand?
Well, back then, the agency had requirements that you have a 4-year degree, and so my business degree qualified me for a social worker, which I never had a social work degree or anything like that. So it just happened that the position became available in Caldwell County, and I applied for it and was hired and mentored with some folks that were social workers for other counties, and that's how I really learned the job. Mm-hmm. Of course, I had practical life experience too, of course, that since I'm totally blind, and so I could relate to other folks and talk with them about their experiences and how we could help them alleviate some of their adjustments to the changes that they had experienced because of their vision loss. So I wasn't real sure what I would guess I wanted to do after I graduated from college my first time around, but as things progressed, the right opportunity came along, and I took that opportunity, and as I tell folks, my dream came true, because at one point, after I moved to Caldwell County, I was sitting around with some friends, and we were talking about, you know, we were all young, what did we want to do in the rest of our lives, and that type of thing, and I remember saying to my wife and these folks that I wanted to be director of services for the blind sometime. Because at that point in time, a lot of folks maybe out in the audience might know Herman Gruber. He was the director then, and he was like a mentor to me. I looked up to him and wanted to follow in his footsteps. He was my counselor, actually, at one time when I was a client. He was in Charlotte, and he was my counselor. And so I guess I was impressed by him and what he did. And so that was my dream that came true.
Great. Okay. Well, did you ever, when you first applied for the position of director, did you ever kind of have some doubts about your ability or what you could achieve as director? Did you experience anything?
I don't really think I had any real doubts because I was the supervisor for the office in Wilmington for like 15 years. And by that time, I knew, you know, pretty much the agency, how it operated, and how our programs were developed, and we had a lot of federal regulations and that type of thing, because a lot of the funding sources are from federal government. So a lot of that was kind of behind me, I guess. I kind of knew how that worked. So I don't know that I had any real thoughts about not being able to do it. But I had a lot of good, again, it's always good to have people to support you. And when I say support, I mean a good network of folks that you can go to and talk to and rely on and get feedback from and how they did it in the past or whatever they might have done. And I had a good relationship with all these folks that, like previous directors and those type things, I had good relationships that I could go to them and say, okay, what did you do in a case like this or that type thing? And that really was very important to me.
It's always great to have a good network of people to help you and to be of help to them, too. It's like
Definitely.
A team. So what was one of your visions to that you set out to achieve while you were director? Do you have a certain goal you really wanted to accomplish?
I guess there was two things that kind of happened that I'm glad that I was a part of. One of them, when I first walked in the door, as the director, the agency had planned to go to a computer-based recording system. In other words, everything we did was on paper. So we wanted to move to an electronic system so that it would be easier to maintain. You could retrieve data and have statistical information that we needed that we couldn't always pull up, again, because of some federal requirements and so forth. We needed this system to help us with that. And so we had a company that we worked with, and they had some basic, I guess, development that they did for a recording system or client-based system. But we were so specialized, I guess, and we had requirements that we wanted to do that we kind of forced them to develop some programs for us or procedures and that type of thing. So it was a long-term process, and it took about 4 years to develop that. And we also worked with not only services for the blind, but the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation did the same thing. So between the two of us, we worked with this company to develop our client-based system. And so we finally launched that, and it was a big day and a big thing for services for the blind. One of the other things that I think that happened that I'm grateful for, I can think of many, but this one was social workers. Their funding sources are very limited in where they get their funding sources and those type of things. And they are the first folks that usually a visually impaired person will encounter for services for the blind. So they can go out to the home and talk with folks about how to adjust to their vision loss and help them with some basic equipment that will help them be able to function on a daily basis. And that might just be a magnifier that just helps them to read their mail, or it could be a signature guide to help them be able to sign their name. So it can be anything real basic like that. And their funding sources had gotten a little low, and so we were able to move around some funds and some other programs and so forth that we allowed them to have some more funding that would allow them to provide more basic training in the home so that folks could really make a difference in their lives and when they first lost their vision. So those two things kind of really jump out at me.
Oh, okay, great. And being a director of any organization, I'm sure there were some stresses, but did you have anything that you were able to accomplish despite the stress that you may have felt? Were there any troubling times that you...
Well, there's always troubling times. Again, one of the things that I knew going into the position is I knew the staff and all the rehab chief and independent living chief and those type folks. I knew all those folks very well, and it really helped to have those folks behind you who could come to you and say, you know, we have this issue going on, and we could sit down and talk about the issue and how it would impact either the services or the program, how it would impact the clients and the services that we'd provide to them. And we would be able to discuss how that would impact everyone and make sure that it was fair, because that was always the one thing we wanted to make sure, that it was fair to everyone. And so it was good to have those folks with the skills that they had and knew their programs so that we could talk about how we could make services better and improve the program for visually impaired people across the state. So that's how I got through a lot of those stressful times.
Well, great. Now that you're retired, do you work in the community to support the blind community, or what other things do you do now?
My wife tells me it might be too many things, but but I am involved in quite a few things. I've been the president of the Friends of the Library for the Blind this is my fourth year. My term will end in June of this year. So I've enjoyed that. I was on that board prior to that, but then you can serve as president for 4 years. So that's what's happened. So I've enjoyed that, and that keeps me involved in the community with visually impaired in that area and learning more about the library than I did before. And so I also help out with like embossing the Tar Heel Talk and making sure that's done so that we can get that out to everyone. So that's one area. I do the NCCVIB, which is the North Carolina Conference on Visual Impairment and Blindness. That's coming up in March, and I usually work with all the vendors and being able to coordinate all of them to make sure they register to come to the conference, and so we can get them involved. And then I go to the conference and participate in some of the presentations that are going on, see a lot of folks that I've seen over the years and stay in contact with them. And so that's always great. Just recently started working with the Governor Moorhead School Foundation and serving on that board. And it just got revitalized. We just created a web page. And so we're looking forward to launching a lot of good programs to help fund some programs or services that Governor Moorhead needs help with. So we're looking forward to that. Then primarily what I do with the visually impaired community, but then just recently started serving on church council. so as I say, sometimes I don't say no enough.
So many times we work harder when we're retired than we do when we were working. It's amazing how we can fit everything into a schedule.
I often wondered how I didn't have time for work.
Right. Do you have any hobbies that you now have taken up since you've retired?
Well, one of the things that I always enjoyed before was reading, and this gives me more opportunity to read. I have more free time, if you can believe it or not. I make time to read more, particularly Braille books. I always have digital books somewhere in my pocket, on my phone or on the digital player or whatever. So I always have those going on. But then the other thing I just recently kind of started, and I did this when I was younger too, was some leather work, and that was with kits and so forth, but now I've tried to start seeing if I can actually do some what they call tooling. I just went to my first class on that, so it's a little different. So we're still practicing that and trying to develop that and see how I can work it out. So that's what I'm trying to get into and see if I can make some leather projects.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So given the vast experience that you've had and your education background, what kind of advice would you give to our listeners today to lead them on a path of success?
Sharon, what I would tell folks is that don't give up your dream. As I talked earlier about, my dream came true. And it's been, and I was blessed with having a lot of folks behind me and supporting me and helping me get to that point. And that's what I would tell folks is that I think there's a phrase that I really like. If you dream it, you can achieve it. I think it might be a Honda or used to be a Honda motto or somebody or Walt Disney or somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's really true. Now you notice I didn't say that it was easy. Because that's one thing that you have to think about, because it means you might have to work really hard to get where you want to go. But if you have a lot of folks helping you and supporting you, then you can do it, but you got to work hard at it to be able to do it. And that's what I would tell folks, that you really have to work and build a good network of folks to help you get where you need to be. And that can be friends, family members, coworkers, whatever it might be, that help you get to that level that you want to achieve.
Very good advice. I would always say that it's the work part that makes you appreciate what you've accomplished, you know, once you've succeeded.
Right.
It makes you go back and think about what you had to go through to accomplish something.
Exactly. Yep.
Did you ever participate in any sports or anything as a visually impaired person?
Oh, yeah. I did that for 30 years.
So what kind of things did you do?
I played beatball when the beatball first started in 1978 in Charlotte. That was the same year I started at Wingate University, Wingate College. I saw something on TV about beatball, and so they told us where to go, and so I jumped out there to see if I could do that, and that was also some very, very good working relationships with folks, and taught me a lot about team and how to be a team member and working with teams, and because it's not just me out there, it was a whole group of us, and so I played that for 30 years, and I think my last year was 2007. Unfortunately, the teams have kind of dwindled down, and very few, or if hardly any, around right now. But it was a lot of work, a lot of hard times, but hot weather, playing in tournaments and so forth. But I loved it, and my family was all involved in it as well. So we had a great time with all that. And then I bowled for about a year here in Raleigh and was a substitute bowler and enjoyed that. Probably should try to do that again. but I stay busy with other things that I just haven't gotten into be able to go back to the bowling alley.
Well, you're retired now. Maybe you can have that opportunity.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. Of all these other things that I do. Yeah.
So about being able to live independently, how did you go about learning that skill? You know, being able to, since you didn't go to a school for the blind, were your parents instrumental in teaching, or how did you do that?
You know, that's a good question. And what happened was I didn't really go to the rehab center or anything like that, but I had parents and family that were very supportive and didn't prevent me from being able to experience things such as cooking in the kitchen. And, you know, I always helped my mother bake cakes or something like that. And so I always knew how to. It was my job to turn the mixer on, for example, or mixing things up and that type of thing. So that was what helped me. And I used to ride my bicycle in front of my house that we lived in Charlotte. We had the rounded curbs, I guess you would call it, for your street curbs, not the ones you step off of that are real high. Mm-hmm. And that was my guide. So I would put my tires in that curb gutter, if you want to call it, and knew how far I could go to my next door neighbor's yard or how far I wanted to go. It was a short street. It was only about four or five houses on the road. So I could move up and down that road without any problem, and then make a U-turn and go back the other way. And of course I used my hearing all the time to make sure there wasn't any cars coming. And it wasn't a very busy street, thank goodness. It was pretty deep into a neighborhood, so it wasn't like a cut-through street or anything like that. So it was pretty easy to navigate that road. So I enjoyed bike riding, and then I ventured out on some other streets and that type of thing that I would learn as well. And so so I didn't have any real problems with that. And then mobility, I learned in Charlotte. That's very important, and I would highly encourage everyone to get mobility services through Services for the Blind or whatever program you can get it through, because that's really the best way to help you feel confident in what you do and how you get around your environment and your community and your church or wherever it might be, so that you can move about okay.
Did you find your classmates and other children in the neighborhood very supportive of you also? A lot of times, you know, in today's world, you have so much bullying. did you experience any of that? Or
I'm afraid I might have been the bully. No, seriously, I really did not. Thank goodness. I guess I need to say that I had a VI teacher in public school. I went to Sedgefield Elementary in Charlotte, and it was the only school that had a VI teacher on staff, and all the VI students in the county went to that school. So Miss Roberta Teague was my VI teacher, and I'll always remember her, and thank goodness I was able to call her way many years ago now, but I was able to call her and thank her for everything that she taught me. Because it made an impression in my life and made me who I am, I think, because she also encouraged my parents to, you know, let me do what I could do, and if I failed, I failed. If I graded it, or if I made it, I made it. So, and then and classmates, like I said, I don't remember anybody really treating me any different, and I developed some good relationships with several guys, and we carried those relationships through school as we all advanced, because we all ended up same middle school. Back then it was called junior high, and the same high school. So I didn't experience any bullying issues, thank goodness. And I don't know why or what the reason. I can't explain it, but I can just tell you that I was very fortunate.
Yes, you were. So many times, you know, children who are in the public school system now really don't want to be a part of the visually impaired community because they feel like it's a kind of a stigma. Did you ever have that experience?
No, I can't. That I was a
that it would be it would be something that would be shameful to be around others who were in the same situation you were in.
No, I never felt that way, and that it would. I mean, I didn't have a lot of folks around me, but I did have maybe one or two students in the same grade as I was, and that type of thing, that were visually impaired, and you know, we got along very well together, and nobody ever felt like we were stigmatized or,
good.
You know, they really tried to do everything they could to include us in a lot of in most areas. Now, some of the PE activities were a little strange, but they tried to do whatever they could. They tried to adapt it as much as, and you got to remember, this is way back in the 60s. So some of the ideas and technology have come along a long ways that have made, you know, like beatball, for example, have made that more successful and able to incorporate other people in those games. So yeah, it was a good experience.
Well, great. Well, I thank you so much for taking this opportunity to be with us today. We've run out of time, but I just wanted to say thank you very much for all your information.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
We've run out of time for this episode of Connect to Success. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Sharon Benton for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. The broadcast is ready available on podcast at the end of this broadcast on our website at triangle reading service.org. So until next time, if you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.